No matter how old we grow, I believe most of us, if not all of us, will always retain certain memories about people from our childhoods. Things they did, places they took us, words they said. For me, one of the most potent images I have is of my late father admonishing us to enunciate. Speak clearly, boldly. Make sure people could understand you. For S.F. Silver, there was to be no mumbling, no swallowed sentences, no garbled gerunds. Little did I know as a boy that his advice was going to stand me in such good stead throughout my professional life. First as a fundraiser who had to make the case to donors to support a variety of institutions, and then as a preacher, sharing exegesis and thoughts about the Word of God on a weekly basis. Enunciation. It came to mind this week as I read Luke's account of the Annunciation. For here in this story, we have the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and sharing with her a remarkable message. Now, when we think about this Sunday and this story, our focus, our attention is on Mary. Is it not? She'll be preached on in churches throughout the land today. People will sing hymns about her. Perhaps they will look at images and artwork. And this is a good and right thing to do. But if we look at the narrative, there is another character here. The angel Gabriel. And as he shares the story of what God is going to do, he is crystal clear. No ambiguity here. No opacity. He's not some kind of celestial spin doctor who's trying to pull a fast one on Mary. He lets her know exactly what God has in mind, and when she has questions, he asks them forthrightly. Why? Why is he so clear? Is it because he's a good guy? Well, one would hope so. Is it because he just wants to make sure that Mary understands exactly what is going down? Probably. But there's something else. And it has something to do with the way God engages in our lives. Here Gabriel appears and tells Mary, "You're going to have a son." Okay. Here's what you're going to name him. Okay. Here's what he's going to do. Maybe Mary's getting a little curious. What is going on here? Am I going to be consulted on any of this? How is it going to happen? I'm engaged. And Gabriel tells her, "Don't worry. Holy Spirit will come and take care of everything." Not surprisingly, throughout the centuries, people in the church have spent a lot of time focusing on this element of the story. How can such a thing be? And there will be debate and consideration of what the virgin birth is. Is it biologically possible? Is it theologically necessary? People will get so caught up in this that they'll think not only must Jesus' birth have been of a virgin, but for Mary to be pure enough, she too had to have been immaculately conceived. People are spending all of this time focusing on the mechanics. And then in recent decades, as people have become sensitive to nuances in the text and power relationships in our own lives, questions have been asked. Is this fair to Mary? This is a bit of an imposition. But of course, the story isn't about Mary. It's about God and what God is doing for humanity and also for a human. Yet recall how this story ends. Mary accepts and embraces the news. And I have no doubt that if Mary had an issue, if Mary thought, I am not up for this, I don't want to deal with the complications this is going to introduce into my relationship with Joseph, I don't want to listen to the gossiping or the tittering or the quiet whispering of the neighbors or family or friends, I believe God would have said, okay. God gives us free will, and I believe Mary would have had the ability to say, I am not accepting this call. Now, there is a certain circular logic to the way stories of Scripture takes place because people always ultimately accept God's call. Even though they always, always involve inconvenience and usually of some cosmic nature. So here we have news being shared. Here we have Gabriel enunciating the Annunciation. Here we have a story that is included in the gospel. The gospel, the good news, our holy book. A holy book whose story we are called to share with others. That's right. You and I are also called to enunciate the Annunciation. We are called to tell this story, to share it with others. What are we going to say? I'm pretty confident nobody here is going to say, the whole season is about binge buying and parties going out of control. And I also suspect people are of a generous enough and broad enough spirit that they're not going to go bang on about putting the Christ back in Christmas. Remember, our Puritan forebears wanted nothing to do with Christmas. Did you know that Christmas was outlawed in the Massachusetts Bay Colony? There was no interest in singing carols and having parties. It was all a distraction from the thing that mattered most, and that, my friends, is Easter. And you know what? They are right. This whole story that we're telling this week leads up to the events on the cross when God conquers and defeats darkness and despair and death. That is the story we are called to tell. But how are we going to tell it? Are we going to hem and haw and whisper and worry about making people, including ourselves, uncomfortable? Or are we going to do it with a bit more gusto? Yesterday, something happened that made me think of the kind of verb we ought to be bringing into our enunciation of the Annunciation. Chip and I went to breakfast at Lou's, and when we left, we went to our car. And we got in, and we heard some voices on a megaphone. Now, Chip wanted to get out of the car and go to the green and see what all the hubbub was about, but our car was already pointed towards Lebanon, and I had stuff I wanted to do, so I said, no can do. And he was a good egg about it. So we pulled out of our spot, and the car behind us pulled in, and lo and behold, but what was behind our Subaru? But a car with a loudspeaker on the roof. And this wasn't just any car. It was a superannuated police cruiser. And there were two men in the vehicle, the driver and the passenger. And they were wearing black suits and black ties and white shirts and black fedoras and black sunglasses. Yes, behind me were Jake and Elwood, the Blues Brothers. And they were telling me that they would be performing in Canaan on New Year's Eve. But those of you who have seen the movie remember Jake and Elwood were on a mission from God. Just like Gabriel. Just like you and me. Now, our Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi fans may not have been on some kind of holy errand yesterday. But there was clearly no self-consciousness on their part about cruising the streets of the Upper Valley, telling people to come see them perform. They had a message, and they were going to share it. What about us? What are we going to do with the Christmas story? Remember, when God comes to us in Jesus, it is to turn everything upside down, to transform the world. This is big news, and it needs to be shared. Boldly, with conviction and gusto and excitement. So I hope that all of us can be inspired by the clarity of the angel Gabriel, by the faithfulness of the disciple Mary, and by the sheer and utter brazenness of Jake and Elwood to go out and tell the story, to enunciate the Annunciation with hope and faith and joy and love and no mumbling pleas.